All right, we promised some college football talk at this time. We do have a start time. Well, we knew one of them, Michigan State, Oregon, Friday, October 4th. It'll be a 9 p.m. Eastern kick at Oregon, 9 p.m. Eastern. But here are the new start times. Saturday, October 5th, UCLA at Penn State, noon on Fox. UCLA will travel across the country and have a 9 a.m. Pacific time start.
That's fun.
At Penn State. Purdue at Wisconsin, Big Ten Network, noon. Iowa at Ohio State, CBS, 3:30. Indiana at Northwestern, Big Ten Network, 3:30. Rutgers at Nebraska, 4 o'clock, FS1. USC at Minnesota, BTN, 7:30 kick. Michigan at Washington, NBC, 7:30 p.m. kick. So those of you going out there, 4:30 Pacific time, 7:30. It'll be a night game. It will be a night game. So there is that for those who are interested. Gator, let's start with Michigan State, BC. Turnover problems can lead to issues. Aiden Childs gets excited and throws a little too many arm punts, just throws the ball up for grabs. But you can see the talent, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no question he's got talent. The three interceptions, I mean, that's a problem. And it's something that'll be worked on, but you can't ignore what his ceiling is. His ceiling is so high. He's just extraordinarily talented. I love that it's four games in the season and Michigan State throws the ball downfield. They are not afraid to throw it downfield. The last interception he threw in the back of the end zone with 36 seconds to go, you know, you wish that maybe he had just taken off and run on that play because it looked like there was a lot of room to run.
Yeah, it's a first down play, too.
Yeah.
Like you had so many downs to work with.
You can't do that. And look, it's a learning curve with him. He'll figure it out. I was mostly impressed with Michigan State's defense throughout the game. And then the last touchdown was a long touchdown pass. It looked like Gross just tripped up a couple times. He tripped up when he gets open, and then he trips up trying to, you know, move down and make a tackle. Wasn't able to do that. But Michigan State played pretty well. But they got in their own way. A lot of it was Aiden Childs. Before the game, they find out they're going to play without three of their wide receivers, which is, it's tough to play without Nick Marsh, without Glover and Antonio Gates Jr. And they got a banged up offensive line. That being said, they still were able to move the football. They got maybe not as many points as you want to see them get, but they did have a lead late in the game. They coughed up the lead. It's a learning experience, and hopefully things will get better for them, although they don't get easier for them because now they're in the gauntlet. And this is a rough stretch of games for Michigan State. They're going to be home this weekend against Ohio State on Saturday night. And then, as you mentioned, the following week they're at Oregon on a Friday night on a short week. And then they return home on they have a bye week, and then they have a home game against Iowa, and then they're at Michigan the following week, and then home against Indiana after that. I mean, Indiana's playing outstanding football. It's Big Ten's tough. You know, the teams that are not Penn State and Ohio State are all pretty good teams, it feels like. There's only maybe a couple of clunkers in the Big Ten, and Michigan State's not a clunker, but playing games against Illinois and Indiana, and we saw with Maryland, they're not pushovers. It's a tough Big Ten.
All right, Michigan and USC, Wolverines win 27-24. There's a lot to get into with this game. I think many people are well aware that in modern intercollegiate football, teams incorporate the forward pass. Michigan has taken their material that they have offensively, and they crafted a game plan that won this game. There's much debate over whether or not this game plan will be employed beyond this, and should it be employed beyond this. I just look at the 60 minutes that took place on Saturday, and what they did in those 60 minutes was find a way to upset a USC team that some thought would roll. But Khalil Mullings is incredible. And one of the little subtleties at the end of that game was that we all know that Colston Loveland was out. And we all know, well, I don't know that everybody knows it, on the 63-yard run, Marlon Klein, who is a well-respected backup that they love, went down holding his hamstring. And on a 4th-and-2 play, they ran out of the old traditional I formation, which I'm not sure they ran that formation at all the entire game leading up to that. They might have on one of the quarterback sneaks. But they're in an old school under center I formation with a fullback and a tailback. They run it left behind Miles Hinton and Josh Preeb. They're two more veteran offensive linemen. They had the XL OL in there with Andrew Gentry. And then they had Zach Marshall, a sophomore tight end that hasn't played much on that side of the line of scrimmage. They also had a true freshman on the field at the time and Hogan Hansen at the other tight end. So they were down on the depth chart. They needed just under 2 yards, and they got just about 2 yards to get that touchdown, which I don't know, it changed the narrative of the season, but it's a season where there were 5 big games and they had to try and find a way to win 3 of them. That's the first one that they've banked. There are going to be other games, as you mentioned, that the Big Ten is tough. Trips to Indiana and Illinois don't look as easy as they once did. So it's going to be a gauntlet. It's going to be a gauntlet. Those aren't punch button wins. Their 5 biggies were Texas, USC, Washington, Oregon, Ohio State. If they get 3 of those 5, the playoffs are in play. They got 1 now. But that implies there's no other slip-ups along the way. The one thing you mentioned about Aiden Childs absolutely applies to Alex Orji, and that is they will be coached. There's a lot that they can get better at. And as a coaching staff, I think probably both coaching staffs are very confident that they can make their quarterbacks better than they are currently. But as it applies to Michigan, I think the coaching staff put together, this is the game plan. And they fell behind. The biggest thing, if they're going to play that game, the punt and play defense game, they have to be winning the field position battle, playing outstanding defense, and not turning it over. They were doing all of those things when they turned it over.
Well, I mean, what a difference a play makes for Michigan when you get down the stretch. They're down 24-20. And it's a 3rd-and-1 play from their own 20-yard line when Mullings busts loose for 63 yards. And that comes a play after they complete a pass for 10 yards to Klein. I mean, things start to look bad. If it's 3rd-and-1 from your 20-yard line with 2:21 to go, you don't get it. You know, if it goes to 4th-and-1, are you going to play the timeout game? Or are you going to go for it from your own 20-yard line? I mean, you probably still go for it, but probably. It didn't matter because it gets 63 on the play. And then they run 7 plays in the last 2 minutes. It's a lot of plays to run in the last 2 minutes, and it's a ballsy call on 4th-and-goal at the 1 to do what they did, and they get the touchdown. And then USC runs a bunch of plays, but not good enough. Give credit to Michigan's defense, stepping up when they needed to step up. You had the pick six from Will Johnson was just massive. Yep. And I'm sure that Mason Mills would love to have that one back.
It's Milton Malloy.
Did you mess up the name at all?
I did not. I messed up a name or two. I listened back to him. I'm like, oh my God. But I got Miller Moss right every time.
There you go.
But
Miller Moss made a
he's good. That was a bad throw.
It was a terrible decision. Yep. And it cost his team in a game where you couldn't afford to make a mistake like that. But, you know, for Michigan, getting that win, they were, what, a 5.5-point underdog, I think, going into kickoff. It's a nice win for them to get, particularly after you lost at home against Texas. You want to have a better taste in your mouth and not lose another home game. Hold serve there. They did. They got plenty of tough games coming up on their schedule, but this is a big win for them to go 3-1. Good for their confidence. The offensive line doing the job. Getting a big performance, 290 yards on the ground. But the question is still going to be there, and it's going to be there until proven otherwise, and that is who is going to be the quarterback? Is he still go with Orji? Does that change based on on who you're playing against? Or are you trying to get somebody else up to speed? Is Jack Tuttle 100% in practice now? Is he competing for that spot? Is Davis Warren completely out of the discussion? Is it a three-horse race? I'm dying to know the answer to these questions.
Well, it looks like Orji's getting the start this week against Minnesota. But, I mean, as with everything, all positions should always be competition. And the best thing that Orji did might have been a pass he didn't throw, and that was when they ran the flea flicker, and there was no one open, and he tucked it and run it and got positive yardage. It's the temptation to let that go on a flea flicker is probably pretty great, but those are the decisions you have to make and say, live to play another down.
Yeah, and they still have to find a wide receiver to step up. Will Loveland be able to play this week?
Don't know yet. Don't know. He was running around on the field. He wasn't in uniform, but
so imagine maybe he's close to returning. But is Klein, is a pulled hammy? Is it worse than that?
Don't know. Those are never good.
No.
When you're grabbing your hamstring.